Throughout time, every society has in it different kinds of people. Most good, some bad, a few evil. And then there's that special kind of evil. Experts call them active shooters. September 6, 1949, Camden, New Jersey. Howard Barton Unruh goes on a shooting rampage with a German Luger. He shot up a barbershop, a pharmacy, and a tailor shop, killing 13 people. He surrendered only after a shootout with police. August 1, 1966, Austin, Texas. Charles Joseph Whitman climbed a tower at the University of Texas and began shooting other students and faculty with a sniper rifle. He killed 16 people before eventually being shot and killed by police. July 18, 1984, San Ysidro, California. James Oliver Hubbardy walks into a McDonald's and murders 21 people before police shoot and kill him. October 16, 1999, Killeen, Texas. George Henart entered Luby's cafeteria and began indiscriminately shooting patrons. He killed 23 people in all, including the elderly parents of former Texas House of Representatives member and now Second Amendment advocate, Dr. Susanna Hupp. Dr. Hupp, by law, was forced to leave her legally owned handgun in her car. The killer eventually committed suicide after a shootout with police. April 20th, 1999, Littleton, Colorado. Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris murder 15 innocents in the Columbine High School massacre. While the school's armed security guard and police stood by and waited in accordance with police procedures, the pair eventually committed suicide. But what many do not know is that months prior to the massacre, Klebold aggressively petitioned the state legislature to uphold stringent concealed carry restrictions on school grounds. July 31st, 1999, Atlanta, Georgia. Mark Barton, a day trader, goes on a shooting rampage through two separate day trading firms. He killed 12 people before turning the gun on himself. August 27, 2003. Salvatore Tapia enters an auto parts store in gun-free Chicago, Illinois, and kills six people with a handgun. He then waged a gun battle with police before a SWAT team fatally wounded him. March 21, 2005. Red Lake, Minnesota. Jeff Wise, a student at Red Lake High School, killed seven people, including a teacher and a security guard. When police cornered him inside the school, he shot and killed himself. April 16, 2007. Blacksburg, Virginia. Jo Sung Hee eventually committed suicide after murdering 32 people at Virginia Tech. Police apprehended the wrong suspect, allowing the shooter to walk across campus and open fire again in a second location. September 3, 2008. Alger, Washington. Isaac Zamora kills six people, including a motorist, during a high-speed chase with police. He eventually surrendered. March 29, 2009, Carthage, North Carolina. Robert Stewart, armed with a rifle and a shotgun, walked into a nursing home and killed eight people. He was arrested after a shootout with police. April 3, 2009, Binghamton, New York. Jiverly Wong murdered 13 people at the American Civic Association Immigration Center, where he was enrolled in citizenship class. November 5, 2009, Killeen, Texas. U.S. Army psychiatrist Major Nidal Malik Hassan entered the Fort Hood Soldier Readiness Processing Center, where all personnel are required to be disarmed. He murdered 13 innocents. Although he had known ties to Al-Qaeda, the Obama administration labeled the massacre as workplace violence. July 20th, 2012. Aurora, Colorado. A left-leaning whackjob PhD candidate with dyed orange hair wearing a Batman character costume entered a crowded movie theater through a locked fire exit door and opened fire, killing 12 and wounding 58 others. August 5, 2012, Oak Creek, Wisconsin. A domestic terrorist killed six people and critically wounded three at a Sikh temple during Sunday services before police shot him dead. no firearms were permitted in the temple. A recent study of active shooters revealed a startling conclusion. When citizens dialed 911 and waited for police to come to their aid, an average of 14 people were murdered. When a citizen intervened, the death toll was reduced to 2. 3 months prior, and a few miles away from the scene of the movie theater massacre, on April 22, 2012, Kieran Parker opened fire in a church parking lot. The shooter only managed to kill one person before being shot and killed by a member of the congregation, who was carrying concealed. Armed citizens do make a difference. Evil people do evil things, and no law or ban or buyback program can stop them. Gun bans do one thing very effectively. They prevent good people from defending innocent people against evil people. And now, Gun for Hire Radio presents Active Shooter.
Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. We got a pretty exciting show today.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff, so don't tune out. And if you're up today at 12 o'clock noon on Channel 9 now, I'm debating a mayor against illegal guns or illegal mayors against illegal guns.
Something like that. Whatever they call themselves.
On the East Coast, it's WWOR Channel 9, and the show is 9 now at noon. We'll see how that goes. Listen, for our listeners in and out of state, this is incredible. We have a Republican assemblyman in New Jersey, or councilman, I don't know what he is. His name is Schroeder, in Bergen County. And this guy wrote $400,000 in bad checks.
This surprises you?
Okay. And after he was arrested and booked and processed, he said he will not resign his public position because he's sorry for writing the $400,000 worth of checks. He's sorry, which is nice.
What's wrong with that?
And he also said the writing the checks was personal. It doesn't affect his public life.
No, of course not.
In New Jersey, we have a slanted thing where our public officials think they're above the law, which has been happening. It's been happening for about 100 years in this country, and it's really growing now, where our elected officials think that, you know, they are the elitist and they're above the law. And you know what? As a politician who's donated a lot of money to a lot of political camps, he'll walk on this.
Absolutely.
And he'll get to keep his war chest. And
absolutely.
And you want to know something else? You schmucks in Bergen County, you'll reelect them.
Absolutely. They'll pull a lever.
So when you're eating that humble pie.
He got an R after his name.
Yeah, when you're eating that humble pie, let me know how that works for you. Here's a great one from New Jersey, because, you know, we have judges in New Jersey, like Judge Walls and Off the Walls.
Off the Walls.
Yes, he says our right defense, self-defense, ends when we leave the threshold of our home.
Well, why is he any different than the governor or the attorney general or every
Correct.
Other politician in
but
the state?
Here's a poor bastard, a jeweler in Vineland, minding his business, going to lock his business up 5 o'clock at night. And as he's locking the door, 3 armed shitbags put a gun to his head and force him in the place to rob him, money, jewelry, who knows what else. He was smart enough to hit a silent alarm, a panic button. And the police surrounded it, SWAT team and everything. They apprehended the 3 guys, and the jeweler is okay. And
he's lucky, he's alive.
He's very lucky. But here's the point. That even if you own a jewelry store, you can carry a gun on your person, but you can't have it on you when you're opening and when you're closing. And we have a special guest in the studio today, Detective Mac again. Mac, most of the time, is that not your most vulnerable time?
Sure, coming and going, always.
Coming and going?
Yep. Always.
Always, when you're coming and going, that's when you're going to worry about. I caught Mac off guard, by the way. He's in the middle of getting a manicure or something, so I caught him off guard. But here we go. We live in New Jersey. We're not allowed to defend ourselves outside of our home.
Right.
We're not allowed to defend ourselves outside of our business. This is a Friday night.
Yeah,
you know, Sandy,
right.
He probably had money on him.
Yes.
Like
and they
don't
that.
Know.
Like
right,
they don't
Sandy?
Know this.
Like they don't know.
They do this for a living.
You know?
Yeah.
And what is he supposed to do? Call a cop to escort him? What if they're busy? You know, Camden is laying off the whole police department.
Well,
did you see that?
Yeah.
They're laying off the entire police department.
The rest of the seven cops that are left.
Yes, the last 160 cops are laying off by December. And what are they using? Mm-hmm. County cops, right?
Yeah, that's going to work out well for the citizens. For the city.
So
good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Now I got a good one.
There's not going to be any bleed over at all into Camden County, right?
The only benefit is the real estate will be cheap.
Yeah.
That's bad. But yeah, it's true.
The murder capital of the world. What typical politicians.
You know, I know the listeners of the show don't have this problem, but I'm going to espouse it now and tell you guys to talk to your friends and family. Fairfield, New Jersey has two or three hotels right on the highway.
Hotels or
motels. Last Saturday night, 9 cars were broken into, windows were broken, and possessions were stolen. Listen, dummies. The 9 cars that were broken into were all the ones that had shit on the front seat or dashboard that was visible.
It doesn't even have to be good shit.
Listen.
They'll steal anything and then value it later, right?
You break a $300 window and get $4 in loose change.
Mac, right? You've seen cars broken into for loose change, right?
Absolutely.
I don't leave loose change visible in my car because Mac has told me stories where they break into a car for loose change. If you smoke and you have a pack of cigarettes on the dashboard, they'll break your car with it. It's $10 for a pack of cigarettes.
Wow, is that much?
Yes. Yeah. The 8 cars that got broken into, Sandy, had either an iPad or an iPhone or a GPS. People, what is wrong with you?
Seriously. Just leave the windows down.
Seriously. You might as well.
Just come get this.
It's the can't happen here thing. Fairfield's a nice town. It would never happen here.
No, of course not.
Could you imagine? This is
it's so, the normalcy so bias.
Pass
right?
it on Correct. To your yep, normalcy bias. Pass it on to your loved ones. If you have kids, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, listen, they're doing the same thing. They're leaving the iPad on the front seat.
Of course
they're leaving
they are.
The iPhone or the GPS. And GPS has only cost $79, $89
today.
It doesn't matter. They'll just steal it for what, $5 to get high?
What's a bag of
heroin going for today?
$6 to get
$6.
Discount.
Now,
I don't even leave my registration and insurance in the car.
I don't either.
It's got my home address on it.
Right.
But if I stole a $49 GPS, if I bring it to the drug dealer, he might trade me for a bag.
No,
you
just stop at the bodega on the way.
Okay.
You get $15 for the GPS, and you get, you know, three
bags.
So I
can get a Diet Snapple and 3 bags, which is...
Usually they'll just take the 3 bags, be honest with them.
They don't want anything to drink. Yeah. They're obsessed with only one thing, so I guess they can't think about it.
People do that all the time. They leave, stuff on the front seat, on the dashboard.
And it's gone.
I got a great letter. I'd like to read this. I don't want to save this for the end. How much time do we have, Sandy?
Wait, I only got a few... maybe about a minute left.
All right, listen to this. Hi, guys. First of all, I love the show. I'm over in England, so to hear people talk sensibly about guns is a real nice thing. This is Simon Blackledge, by the way. All I can have in England is a .22 air rifle limited to 12 foot-pounds. It's a joke. That's like a spitball.
Oh, Simon, we're headed there.
So it's your show is a bit of lifeline, but I do have a real problem with something you said on last week's episode. Uh-oh. He said, because I told Piers Morgan he should go back to England, he said, please do not tell Piers Morgan to go back to England because they don't want him in England, okay? Simon gave us permission to put Piers Morgan in a shitbaggerator.
Nice.
Simon, thank you for your support, and we're going to be responding to a few more emails from you. Keep your faith over across the pond, and let's bring Churchill and Reagan back.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Hit it! Active shooter. I'm talking about active shooter.
We're going to dedicate pretty much the rest of the show. We're kind of going free form, ladies and gentlemen. We brought Mac in and his credentials. He's on the SWAT team and he studies this stuff.
He teaches cops this.
He teaches cops this. And there's some things civilians we can't know, but there are a lot of things we can know and we should know. And after what happened in Colorado and now what happened in the Sheikh Temple, which was a real tragedy, by the way, especially if this guy was some skinhead Aryan just looking to make his bones or whatever. But, you know, we all go out into the world. We go to malls. We go to restaurants. We go to movie theaters with our family. Mac has three kids, and you know I bring my dog to the movies once in a while, so I want to make sure he's safe.
Winston packs heat.
Exactly. So we decided that this would be a great forum right now for the three of us to learn some stuff and talk. So where do you want to go with this, Sandy? I'm going to take a nap now.
Well, so this should be different than any other day.
Exactly,
Mac. I'm looking at something that you gave me as part of the show prep in our stack of stuff over here, and it's really amazing. If you could talk about the five stages of the active shooter, I think our audience would really like to hear stuff.
Just if I need like 2 minutes just before that, I need to explain the definition of an active shooter because there's a lot of misconceptions when it comes out, and you and I were talking before the show. So just to begin, an active shooter is technically defined as a suspect or an assailant whose activity is immediately causing death and serious injury. And that's really the
bad
key
guy
components
with a gun who's
to
just
it.
Shooting.
You know, the gun is just a tool. You know, if
we
one
talk
example,
about this all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, one example in Pennsylvania, you know, a guy breaks into a school and he's sexually assaulting 5-year-olds. That's causing death or serious injury to people. So that fits the technical definition. There's also one other key important component. It's that the threat is not contained and there's immediate risk of death and injury, meaning a person doesn't go into a school or an office building and hold everybody hostage. There's a big difference between a hostage scenario and an active shooter.
Active shooter can wander anywhere he wants and usually does.
Free to move about, free to, you know, cause death and serious injury to unarmed, innocent victims. That's people need to understand that first.
Like we saw
and foremost.
At Columbine, like we saw at the movies,
sure.
In Aurora, right. Like we just saw at the Sikh
Temple.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But after that, I mean, understanding the active shooter, there's five stages of an active shooter. And this really, you know, I read an article on NJ.com, and the guy was kind of trashing gun owners, saying that, you know, everybody's waiting for this one CCW holder, this dark knight to come in and save the world. I mean, that's just an ignorant statement. That's never going to happen.
Well, we covered that in the show opening, and you know, a lot. How many more examples do we need to give that is happening? That
right.
We've talked about this off air a number of times. That the first responder needs to be you.
Right.
We've talked about the fact that if the police, if you're waiting in an active shooter situation, if you're waiting for the police, an average kill rate is 14. If a citizen intervenes, the kill rate drops to 2.
The whole scenario is over in 4 minutes. Average
Done.
Time.
Done.
Over.
Done. So right. And the average response time in the U.S. is what, 12 minutes right now?
Right. The quicker anybody responds and gets involved, right, the quicker the incident is over.
And it doesn't even have to be an armed citizen. It can be just anybody intervening.
Anyone willing to sacrifice themselves. And right, that's really
security,
what it is.
Security officer.
Right.
Bystander.
Right. Bystander.
Absolutely. You know, people criticize the incident. They I've heard so much talk about this beta mag, this 100 round, you know, this big drum that they make it out to be, you know. So if I could carry, you know, 50 10-round magazines in my backpack, right, that's okay. Won't be a point. It's just the beta mag that's all of a sudden is the bad, you know.
Exactly. What does it take? Seven-tenths of a second to change a magazine?
To change a magazine, right. So I could change my magazine quicker than he could fix the jam that he had in the beta mag.
Right, but, exactly.
You know, if you notice, the media focuses on the incident itself, but understanding the active shooter.
Yeah, they
shooter,
end up focusing in on the object versus the actor.
Right. Well, he was a gunman.
Yeah, the gunman. The gunman. Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. Where are you when your kid colors his hair orange and starts making journal notes? As a parent, as
right,
a friend,
right,
as you know, as anyone who's associated with these people. Even in Columbine, these kids had journals. I mean, you know, people were aware of what
they
was
were
going
aware,
on.
Yes, everybody. The teachers were aware of it. The school psychologist
right,
was aware
but
of
everybody's
it. Everybody's
afraid.
The parents were aware of it, but everybody's afraid.
To get
afraid,
sued. That's
yes,
the bottom line.
Exactly.
You know,
so what did we say? Political correctness is the Sharia law of the United States.
Yep, Ron Sousa hit that nail right on the head, man.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with the active shooter, there's five stages of an active shooter.
The first stage is the fantasy stage, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's pretty much where the shooter dreams of the shooting. It's almost like a dreamlike reality.
So when he's in that fantasy stage, like this guy in Colorado, that's when he starts ordering his shit? Is that when or no? Is
not
that too
yet
soon?
No, that's...
Okay.
But he's dreaming about it. He's talking about
right,
it. He's
joking
fantasizing
about it.
About, you know, this
if,
whole thing.
If you're... He's joking about it, telling people about it. You know, this is the time where kids, citizens, civilians need to start tipping off the authorities of something
right,
like this.
Right. These things could have been stopped if they would have heard somebody talk about it. Oh, man, I'm right, just going to go in there and blow these people away. And that happened with Columbine. You know that had to happen with Aurora,
sure,
Colorado, and it had to happen with Wisconsin.
I would say it happens in almost every active shooter scenario that comes.
So I'm around, home fantasizing about being godlike, like
right,
I'm going to go and
yeah,
shoot
and
all of
you,
these people.
You call your buddy and say, hey, listen, what do you think of this? We go into this place and we shoot it up. And we laugh about it and we joke. And many times it ends there.
Yeah.
But as the friend, as the other person, it's your duty to tell somebody about that.
Right.
You know, kids have this whole big thing. I talk to my kids all the time. My 11-year-old, I was talking to him about something. He said, oh, Dad, that would be snitching. I mean, think about
yeah,
the stuff
yeah,
that goes
pressure,
in these kids'
peer
heads.
Peer pressure, exactly.
You know?
Right.
I mean, if you're not around and you're not talking to your kids or your friends or your loved ones about things like this, or if they're mentioning it to you and, you know, you just let it go there, then I think we need to put the blame on some of the other people.
Right. Take the blame off of the damn object. Let's stop focusing in on the gun. The problem I have with all of this is we're asking the wrong questions, which is leading us to just perpetuating this incident
over
and over and over.
All our politicians should be focusing on the car to curtail drunk driving.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, just like they did with Ted Kennedy. All right, we're going to come back with Detective Mack, and we're going to continue speaking about the active shooters.
I think I'm in the fantasy stage right now.
You are always in the fantasy stage. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey Firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Now, here's what you do. Take a big bucket of black paint, find a spot in front of your house about 10 feet high, about 20 feet wide, and paint in big letters U-G-L-Y, ugly. Now, why would you do that? It's stupid, but that's what some people have with their garage door. It's like a big, ugly billboard in front of their house. Now take a look at yours. If those four letters come to mind, then you have an ugly garage door. Solve it by calling Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Buy-Right Overhead Doors is in the business of installing beautiful custom garage doors and helping homeowners end their ugly garage door problems. Just by logging on to buyrightohd.com, you can upload a picture of your garage door so you can see what the right door can do for you. Buy-Right Overhead Doors, expert in all garage door problems, from fixing and installing new openers to even repairing the woodworking around your existing garage door. Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Remove that big black billboard that says ugly in front of your home. 877-711-6100 or visit buyrightohd.com.
Okay, so I'm a psychopath and I'm sitting home thinking all about what I'm going to be doing to go out in a blaze of glory. What happens in the next stage?
The next is the planning stage. That's really where the person picks the logistics, the who, what, when, where, and why.
And that can take a while, too.
Yeah, and it's not something that's done overnight. I mean, most of these things are really thought out. You know, the thing with this stage is if the police are tipped off at this time, intervention can still be done with zero casualties. It's still,
right,
we're not too
right.
late
you can still
yet.
Catch it.
Right. And that's what really I want people to understand that, you know, if you find a journal or if your kids are talking about it and you see things written down in their notebook, you know, plan to kill, you know, 50 kids at the school today, don't dismiss it as, oh, my kid,
thing.
You know, my you kid's know, mad.
Matt, just a phase.
You know,
he's
I got to say something. You know, the liberal media and the liberal Hollywood establishment that fuels this anti-gun sentiment, they're about 50% to blame because of the movies games.
Uh-huh.
That has to send you off into a fantasy
sure.
tangent, right?
Well, if you think that there are people, because of this last incident, aren't fantasizing about
of
it.
Of course.
Now, the media creates
some piece
this.
Of garbage who got sand kicked in his face when he was a kid, mm-hmm. who never amounted to shit his whole life, is now fantasizing
sure.
he's going to be held up
Absolutely.
Like a friggin' hero on television. Because what does the media do? Immediately that elevates this guy to his status of celebrity.
Absolutely.
It's just wrong. And to expect from a psychological standpoint that this is not going to copycat?
It most certainly will. We saw in a week.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It has.
Exactly.
So,
you know?
So what's the next stage after?
The next stage is the preparation stage. That's where the actor obtains whatever products he's going to.
Okay.
Okay. He goes out and buys his Joker costume, the hair dye for his
hair. Dyes your
hair
orange all of a sudden. Yeah. I mean, you paint, and it's not, this is a thing that still people should notice, you know?
You would think, right?
You're ordering black powder off the internet, but you're not, you know, you're not a gun enthusiast or you don't have a black powder gun.
Or 75 pounds of fertilizer and renting
this,
a truck.
Right.
This guy now the other day, the Crypt Keeper came out with Che Menendez, and they had 6,000 rounds of ammo on a table in Elizabeth, showing this is the ammo he ordered on the phone and on the internet, and we need to restrict online ammo sales now because that's going to stop the gun man.
Yeah, it's going to stop the gun man.
I just want to know, what did they do with that 6,000 rounds afterwards? Because I could
use
it.
I could use it, too.
You know,
I have a little hole in my my garage that it would fill. Yeah,
this is the stage, and the preparation stage is really when the shooters call friends and say, hey, listen, don't go to school that day. Don't go to work that day. Believe it or not, a lot of
times this
occurs.
Yeah. They'll call up and just
say, listen, you know,
to people that they care about that they don't want to get
involved. Do yourself a favor. Don't go to school that day. You know, if you get a phone call from a friend, a coworker, this is something that, you know, you need to call somebody and say, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on. I got a call from my friend who said, hey, I wouldn't go to work today.
Right.
You know, if law enforcement is tipped off in this.
Are they doing that? Do you know if they're doing that just because they're actually concerned for that person or just because they they're kind of bragging in a sense about it.
A lot of times, from the research that I've done, it's they really don't want those people caught up in it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Everybody has some, even though crazy people have somebody that they love. You know, so
yeah, they might single somebody out.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like this kid now, his family was in California. This was in Colorado.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was on a third floor apartment, probably had no visitors, so it was easy for him to stockpile stuff. But you know, his hair, I don't know how long his hair has been orange, and that right. crazy look on his face.
And he's a PhD candidate.
This kid
so,
obviously aroused the suspicions of the psychologists who notified this wonderful beta team that they have, which is nothing more than, you know, in my opinion, a bunch of people sitting around to justify a position.
Right.
The kid leaves the school, problem solved, not our problem, move
right.
on.
Right,
you know,
move
I
on.
Hate to say it, but that's the cold reality of it. You
yeah.
know?
Wow.
So they're notifying the wrong people. Nobody's talking. It's just a political.
Yeah, that's
know,
what it
I
is.
I was just going to use
you know?
A bad word,
well,
but.
it looks great on your college website. Don't worry, we have a beta team. We're taking care of all the students. In reality, okay, but if he leaves, not our problem.
Yeah, right.
You know?
He's off the school grounds
I mean,
now.
The following that, we have what's called the approach stage, and that's really
he's on his way now to the venue.
It's starting to begin. This is when he's on his way there. It's very dangerous for law enforcement to stop a person like this. It's very dangerous for, you know, people to get involved at this point.
Because he's already prepared.
It's going.
I mean, he's prepared. To,
yeah, the plan
to,
is in motion yeah. now.
So he's got all his stuff on. He's all geared up. So it's the approach stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there's the implementation stage. That's when it's you know, you're at that moment. You're at the door. You're at the place.
There's no stopping.
It's going to happen
point.
There.
It's
and this is... Yeah. This is the stage everybody seems to focus on, you know, the incident itself. But look how many stages you missed prior to
it. Prior to it, right.
You mean to tell me this kid that painted his hair orange, no one said, hey, maybe this kid isn't right.
Right.
You know, what should we do about right. it? And that's the thing. People are afraid to get involved.
And it does come out later on. It's always the debriefing.
Sure.
That we're all the
you
information.
Know,
everybody's
all
always
the dirt
afraid
starts coming
to stick
out.
Their neck out.
Yeah.
The Fort Hood with the FBI, 14 flaws they overlooked
right.
with
right.
the Fort Hood workplace violence.
Yeah.
Incident,
yeah.
not domestic terrorism.
Yeah. Workplace violence.
I want to talk about this stage some more and talk about what we should do when we come back.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, the Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area, with over 300 handguns in stock. You'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rutgers Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio.
Okay, now we're in there, and the bad guy's shooting. There's really not a whole hell of a lot you can do at this point except for duck and cover.
But wait a minute. Isn't there also other things that we should be looking for, like the door was open, the emergency exit, yeah. He got in and got out. Here's a guy walking around in a uniform that doesn't look right, you know, wearing some garb that doesn't look right. People need to open their eyes too. I know there's some weirdos out there, but people need to open their eyes at that point too,
right.
Correct?
Right.
So go ahead,
you talk
Mac.
About in the preparation stage, mm-hmm. He has already made a venture to that venue. He's already kind of,
walkthroughs. Yeah. I mean,
he's probably been to that theater before.
Sure. I mean, he wouldn't go into it blind.
Right.
You know?
You have to.
You know that nobody in there is armed. There's a big sign with a gun with an X through it. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's why he picked the place.
That's exactly
well,
why he picked the place.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Would you, do an active shooter situation if you came into a room and you knew there were 15 people that are standing there armed?
When I'm teaching people at Gun for Hire all the time, new students will say, aren't you afraid someone's going to go crazy at the gun range? I'm like, no.
Seriously?
Because that's the last place because
everybody's armed. Right.
Right.
I mean, when was the last mass shooting at a police station you heard about?
Correct.
It's very rare.
Very rare. Yeah. So we get that. So go ahead, Max. So he gets in. He's already got the lay of the land. Now, here's this nutcase. He went out the exit. No, there's no crash bar on the exit door at this theater. We didn't discuss this yet.
Yeah, no alarm.
The news is not out yet.
No alarm.
Because most alarms
the
in a theater, you can't sneak out because then you could open it to let friends in.
Yeah,
right?
Like we used to.
Yeah.
No,
well, I never did that.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Oh, you're good. Oh. So he comes back in. And now what happens now? What's going on in his mind when he gets to this point now? He's ready to go full hog on everybody.
Well, it's his trigger's been pulled in a sense, and it's, to him it's game time. You know, after the first round is fired, there's been studies that have been put out there that it becomes a video game. And I know we've talked about this before, and they're almost desensitized from what is really going on.
Anything that moves, they're shooting at.
I mean, don't forget, a mass shooting is loud, it's chaotic, there's people running, there's people screaming. I would bet half the people in the theater didn't know what was going on for several seconds.
Oh, right. For sure.
Right. How many people sat there and froze?
Right. How many people thought it was part of the movie?
How many people went to that movie theater expecting to be in a situation like that?
Listen,
how many of those people have actually trained for something like that?
Teenagers in 20s. Would have looked at it like part of the act until he started shooting people.
Yeah, exactly.
Even then, he might have shot the first two people before you realized, oh, shit,
that's
I was
real.
Not an act.
There's a quite large number of people that really didn't process mentally what was going on, had mental overload at that point.
Well, we see that in training all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
In training, you could walk into a room full of people. You've done this. I've watched this where the actor walks in, shoots up the whole room and walks out, and nobody knows what the hell just happened.
Just doesn't process.
When we interview new instructors to work at Gun for Hire, all Mac wants to do is run them through force on force with the simunitions.
Yeah,
It's the most realistic training you will ever get.
Right.
Whether it's an active shooter scenario, or you can go to the range all day long. You can take that perfect stance, get that sight picture all you want.
Exactly.
The minute it happens, if you haven't prepared for it, choose this.
You can have 500 guns. You can have an arsenal. It really doesn't matter.
Only takes
how
one.
How do you train with that one gun?
To the liberty that belongs to you and me. We the people, you and I.
For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 877-NRA-GUN-1. That's 877-NRA-GUN and the number 1.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
Can I talk yet? Now I can talk?
Now you can talk.
This segment is sponsored by New Jersey Second Amendment Society. NJ2AS.com.
Cheaper than a back waxing.
Cheaper than a back waxing. New Jersey Second Amendment Society.com. Their Facebook page is New Jersey Second Amendment Society. $35 a year to join. Sign up, send money, tell the guys Gun for Hire Radio sent you. Listen, they're busting their asses. Operation Established Compliance, getting police departments to comply with permitting processes. They have a couple of the tricks up their sleeve right now. We really need you, whether you live in New Jersey or not. If you listen to this from out of state and you're helping us fight the good fight by listening to the show, you know, we don't ask for donations on the show unless they have six or seven zeros on the end.
That's true. You could send us anything.
If you like what Gun for Hire Radio is doing, you can do two things. You can write a $35 check or credit card to New Jersey Second Amendment Society, and you can thank our sponsors by patronizing our sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm telling you right now, New Jersey Second Amendment Society.com. Tell Frank and Bob and the guys that Gun for Hire Radio sent you. So, Mac, couple of things. Everything we read on Facebook and gun forums and everything, everybody seems to be an expert. And of course the press jumps on us and says, well, if someone had a gun, more people would have got shot. But there's a couple of scenarios. First of all, we know people aren't aware. Mac teaches a class at Gunfire called Be Prepared, which is a personal awareness seminar. Very successful. We do remote locations and everything. But situational awareness, deciding where you're going to sit, how you're going to sit. But I'm a big guy. So I'm in the theater. I took my two stepsons and I took my two nephews to go see The Lord of the Rings. I just barely fit in a seat. I have a carry permit. It's in my back strong side hip holster. My hands are greasy from maybe butter popcorn, maybe not. I can't tell. The kids are hanging on me. I'm going back 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, a guy starts popping rounds. People are standing up in front of me and running. I'm telling you, I can say this on the air. 250,000 people can listen to it. I'm not sure I'd be able to get a clear shot. But I know I'm not going to sit on my ass.
Right.
The thing with that is, when you say you're not going to get a clear shot, is it because you're saying that because of where you're sitting and you're thinking traditional range mentality? Or are you thinking, I can't get close enough to the person?
No, I'm just worried about people running in front of me. Like, I would probably
just mass chaos going on.
I would
try
to pull my ass out of the seat, get the kids on the ground, draw the gun, and maybe use a seat in front of me as a rest and try to shoot him. You know, assuming he's in front of me and not on the side of me.
Correct.
I don't know.
Right.
Let me throw this out there. And this is one of the things with active shooter. It's kind of counterintuitive. If you close the distance on an active shooter, you force that shooter to do something that he wasn't prepared to do prior to.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. So it's like Krav Maga running in instead of backing
up. Yeah. He's prepared to attack you, but not to be attacked.
Remember where you stand on the food chain with active shooter. Your life is one step below, if that makes sense.
Nice.
A little hard to swallow. But
it is hard to swallow.
If you think about the overall goal, ending the scenario, you're one step lower than you were prior to walking into that movie theater.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia. Offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
You know, we're going to take a lot of crap from a lot of the armchair quarterbacks and gun enthusiasts on this one.
The tacticians.
The Mac, tacticians, yeah.
Mac, you just said it before. A nationally acclaimed trainer who's got a whole video series said that if he had drew his gun and was holding the active shooter or shot the active shooter, when you cops come in, he would raise his hand and say, "Hold on, I have a CCW. I'm helping you." How would that play?
It might not work out too good for him. The whole concept of the active shooter is you're not going to hold an active shooter at gunpoint. It defeats the purpose. They don't want to be captured by police.
Right.
They either kill themselves or try to flee. It's very rare that somebody's going to point a gun at an active shooter and they're going to put the gun down and say, "All right, you got me, I give
up." So if I said, "Hold on, I'm a CCW holder and I'm assisting." Right.
Bang.
My command is going to be, "Police, don't move. And if you do anything other than that, you might have an unexpected reaction that you
won't
like."
So your job is to neutralize.
Right. I don't know how do I know who the active shooter
is? I read that bumpus online and I was like, oh shit, that is some seriously wrong advice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should, you know, first of all, if you're holding an active shooter and he gives up or surrenders, then it's not an active shooter anymore. You know, you can holster your gun and stand behind them.
Right.
You know, when the cops are responding, last thing they want to see is especially
a guy with a gun.
Reports, you know, reports of shots fired. Last thing they want to see is a guy waving a gun around.
So here we are in New Jersey, you know, where nobody can have a carry permit. So you're saying if something hits the fan, close the distance. Instead of running away where he's in a video game mindset shooting you in the back, since you're probably going to get shot anyway, F it, turn around and rush him.
I'll give you the perfect scenario. You stand in a room, we give you one ammunition gun, 10 of us sit down at a table, all of a sudden you start shooting, we get up and all attack you. How many of those 10 people are you going to be able to get?
Right. Well, there's studies have been done that typically if the person is running, right, that only 4 out of 100 shots will hit them. Yeah. And if they do get hit, will probably not hit a vital organ.
I've been to the range a million times and watched people shoot at moving targets. It's very unlikely you're going to hit a moving target, to be quite honest.
Correct. Right. Correct. We've tried. I mean, we use a radio control car with balloons on it.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we have an antenna with balloons, and we ask our students, and we go real slow to try to shoot it. Yeah, you should see how that works out. So what I'm going to put my neck out here, but most active shooters basically are pussies because they're taking guns in an unarmed environment, and they're going to start blowing people away.
So
you turning it around and either outflanking them or rushing them might really make them shit the bed.
Right.
If he looks up and sees my 300-pound ass closing in on him, he might...
He's going to choke. Yeah,
even worst case scenario, if you get hit with rounds, it doesn't mean it's, you know, on TV you get hit with one round, you fall down and die.
Right.
That's not reality.
Right.
We've seen people hit with 2-3 rounds and they have 2 minutes left in them. I'm not saying the end result is going to be, you know, you may die, you may not. But the bottom line is if you buy into the concept of active shooter, the scenario's over, you've won the scenario.
Mac, how different would the scenario have been if he had started shooting and 50 people rushed him?
It would have been done.
Right.
It would have been done.
If 50 people got the I mean, I understand. It's a shocking thing you're not prepared for. But if 50 unarmed people all jumped up and ran in his direction, he can't shoot all 50.
Correct. He can't get rounds off enough, and he's probably going to choke. You see that happen when you guys do force-on-force training.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it. I've watched the videotapes of it. They choke. They freeze.
Yeah.
Especially even these guys who are IDPA champs and whatever, they still freeze. They're not used to shooting at targets that are moving at them.
Because people don't do force-on-force training.
Correct. Correct.
That's the sad reality of it. And until we start seeing the warning signs and start training, it's going to happen again.
If you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard Anthony and I talk a lot about the escalation in burglaries, robberies, home invasions that are going on in the Northeast, especially here in the tri-state area. There's nothing you can do to totally prevent bad guys from doing very bad things, but you can make yourself a tough target. At home, that means building layers of security, making your home look unappealing to criminals. You can do that by installing dusk-to-dawn lighting, using big dog toys and a big dog ball like Anthony always talks about, just inside your kitchen door, visible from the outside, reinforcing your entry doors, and planting sticker bushes beneath the ground floor windows. As for me and my house, we chose an added layer of protection surrounding our home and business, and since our zoning officer in the town frowns upon digging a moat we chose a full protection alarm system from Prism Electronics. Dean, who owns Prism, is our personal alarm guy. He's who Anthony and I have chosen to protect our family and businesses. Now, if you're like us and you want that added layer of protection only an alarm or closed-circuit television system can bring you, be sure to call Dean at Prism Electronics. He'll come right to you, and he'll treat you right. PrismElectronics.com. You know, Mac, we were talking off the air, and I was bringing up some research that I heard John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, mm-hmm. talk to a buddy of mine. He was doing a radio show interview, and Lott said that in their research, every single active shooter situation in the world has been done in a gun-free or gun-restricted environment. It's like these guys do pick it, like you said, you put it very succinctly, they're all pussies.
Yep.
And they're going to, like you said, shoot until all the targets are done or they run out of ammo.
When you're in your fantasy stage, what are you picking? That's where you're picking your place, right?
Right.
Well, am I going to pick a police station, like you said? Am I going to, you know, or am I going to pick a place where people gather and it's going to be the big thing? What do you think? The shooter picked Batman for a reason. It was the premiere of Batman.
Right.
This was part of the whole, you know,
which goes to your planning stage, too, because in the planning stage, how long did this psychopath plan?
How long did they announce the upcoming movies?
Right.
So he, more than enough time.
Right. We talk, all right, so I don't get my ass handed to me. We talk about rushing them, but, you know, it takes a lot. Mac, you're there with your three young kids.
Right.
It takes a lot to break from your kids and rush them.
Right.
You don't know if there's more than one shooter. You know, well, you know what I mean? There's a lot of dynamics here.
The thing is, you have a choice. You can run, you can hide, or you can fight. If you can't run because the only place to run is toward, you know, toward the shooter or where he's firing, then maybe the best situation is to lay down on the seat and don't move. Or fight. I mean, I can't say, you know, what you should do in every scenario, but you need, the point is, how many of those people didn't do anything, just froze?
Right.
And not to any fault of their own.
Which is a natural reaction in many cases.
Now, did you see the Sheikh in the temple? He fought with a butter knife, man.
Yeah. I mean,
he died, but he fought with a butter knife. And he probably prevented other people from dying in that temple.
What's kind of interesting that I would like to know, and it really hasn't been brought out, Sikhs as part of their religion, as part of the way they dress, are always, they always use a concealed blade.
Did you know in New York they're not allowed to carry it?
You're kidding.
The gun rabbi told me that. The ones that work in the office buildings and stuff, they're not allowed to carry them in.
Really?
They carry that little curved handle knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if they didn't have that in the temple. Apparently not, if he grabbed the butter knife.
But at least he fought.
At least he fought.
He fought to the death.
Right.
And he might have saved countless other lives.
By fighting with the suspect, what are you doing? If you think about it realistically, you're taking his attention away from the other 300 people that are in the room.
You know what else? Could you imagine if the word got out to these pussy nut jobs that the lambs weren't going to be lambs anymore? A couple of scenarios where an active shooter lights up a room and they get ganged up, it might change the mindset of some of the other nut jobs out there. Like the terrorists, they're not going to do what they did on September 11th again.
Right.
Never again will people sit idle in a plane and wait to be driven into a building.
Right.
I'm going down anyway.
I'm taking
two of you with me. I'm going to get you on the express route to Allah.
And
And
they know that.
Right.
Yes.
They know
and those
that.
Two words, so, you know, let's roll.
Right. Yes.
So but is this not the
everything.
Same concept?
Same concept.
Yes, exactly.
So
same
if we
concept.
Were to, if
sure.
we, if Americans, if or any country were to learn to rush the active shooter, it might be a lot better. You know, in the 60s where they had the tower shooting, civilians got their own rifles and shot at them, too.
Absolutely right. And it was actually a civilian that drew attention.
Correct.
That allowed the police officer to kill.
Correct.
Him. Yeah.
Just as important is those stages. You have to see what's going on. Somebody had knowledge of this taking place.
They had to see him going, becoming pickled. You know, somebody had to see it.
Sure.
I'm not against running. I'm a firm believer. If you got to create distance by running, then do it. You know. But if you're there with your kids, you're not going to run and leave your kids. So maybe you're going to have to be that guy or that woman who runs toward the active shooter and You know,
we know statistically it's about 2% of the people. And we know that because most of the people, even if you were to pass CCW in New Jersey with 9 million people here, 1 million gun owners, statistically 1% of those people are going to get CCWs. And maybe more in New Jersey because there's a pent up demand for it.
Sure.
But I guarantee you by the second and third renewal, when they've got to qualify twice a year and everything else happens, they're going to just drop it. I know.
Correct.
So many of my family members are ex-cops or retired cops. Mm-hmm. Half of them don't carry anymore because like it's just a pain in the ass. I don't want to have to constantly go
qualify.
There's
a lot that comes with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I carry my gun off duty every day, and if it happened to me, I think I have a plan. You know, I've prepared for it. I've planned for it. If it never happens, better yet.
Yes.
But if it does happen, I know my plan.
And we're talking about that, planning and preparing. I think that's what it's all about. It's awareness, situational awareness, environmental awareness, and planning and preparation.
Right.
The three of us in this room do that. When we walk, you know, it's funny to watch a group of firearms instructors and cops go out to a diner.
We're all fighting for the back wall.
We're all fighting for the back wall in the same seat.
You can pick
them
out.
Nobody wants to be, right.
You know, you can walk in a restaurant and pick them out clear as day.
Right, absolutely.
But, you know, it's something that you do every day because you plan for it. You know, just like anyone that comes to Gun for Hire, we don't just teach, you know, target practice. There's more to guns than target practice.
Right.
You know,
exactly right. Shooting at a static piece of paper just doesn't cut it.
So if your odds are against you, you might as well just rush them.
Right.
Well,
take your chances.
Because actually your odds do improve, right? When you rush them versus running versus just standing there.
You're going to have SWAT guys call this show and badmouth this, and people are going to complain about this because it's counterintuitive thinking.
Yes.
It's exactly opposite of what we were taught to do
forever in
this country.
Which is why it works.
Run and hide is what we were taught.
You know, and let me tell you, as a guy who makes his livelihood teaching counterintuitive thinking, it works, and it works because it is counterintuitive.
My thing is, don't take my word for it. Come and try it.
Right.
Try it in a safe environment with sim munitions.
Yeah, exactly right. You can play it out when actually someone is shooting at you and the target is moving let me tell you, I put those helmets on and you want to talk about sensory deprivation.
Right.
It really creates a lot of tension.
When I'm off duty, I'm not drawing my gun like Wyatt Earp in a perfect range thing.
Right,
it's not happening, you know?
Tell everybody what you were saying off the air about seeing a muzzle flash.
Just to picture this, you know, you're in an environment and there's an active shooter and you stand up, get your perfect stance, close your sight picture. You know, it just doesn't seem right. But that's what we're taught to do, right? You go to the range, you fire two rounds, you got to put the gun down, check your target.
Right.
That's not real life. I mean, my plan is to go with the flow, and at the last minute, last thing he would see is a muzzle flash.
Exactly, right.
So we need to start a groundswell of people realizing that if there's an active shooter, you have to rush the nut.
But you have
to... Rush the nut.
That's a good slogan.
Rush the nut.
You have to understand the concept of it in order for you to buy into it. You know, because it does go against everything.
Yeah, it goes against every bit of training
in the country
that every cop is trained to go the other way.
Perfect example. When these guys do Urban Pistol 2, they have the students move forward and shoot and move back and shoot. And Joe and Mac will say, and Chuck, don't stop when you're reloading. Keep closing in or keep moving away from the target. Mac, what does everybody do when they go to reload?
They plant their feet like they're in cement.
They plant their feet because we're used to not
moving. That's what you do on the range.
Okay? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what
you do
on the range.
And then
you're training in a way that is not normal.
Correct. And then in level 3, we have a move in obliques. We have a move lateral. We have a move forward. It's amazing. And I'm just thinking about it. Like, this nut job, he tried to join a range in Colorado. We don't even know if he even went to a range or two to shoot. But I know what it's like because when I trained with Masad Ayoub and stuff, they have that mechanical thing where the target comes towards you. Everybody shits the bed, okay? because it can close in on you very fast. And I'm just thinking about it now in a theater. if I have my gun and I'm shooting to the left, and all of a sudden I look to my right and one or two figures is rushing me,
right.
It's very, right. By the time I get over it, he's on top of me. You can recognize,
exactly right. It takes that 2 seconds, the oh shit moment, right?
You're in a malfunction
moment,
there. And so yeah. Let me know how you feel.
Rush the nut is what we're going to use.
Rush the nut.
To my fight. Yeah, we're going to use rush the nut. We're going to use to fight an active shooter instead of turning and running. Again, I can't speak for them, but I know the sheik, he fought, the sheik in the temple he fought. I would love to, you know, see a scenario. I hope it never happens again, but history dictates, Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Active shooters have been going on for 2,000 years.
They've been going on forever.
And it was active stonings.
It's active stonings, sticking and stoning and clubbings,
but
yeah.
To rush the bastard and, you know, rush the nut. That's what we're going for.
Well, yeah. Look at the statistics. Statistics prove it out. When we wait for the police to show up, an average kill rate is 14.
And it's over.
14 kills. And it's over. It's over by the time they get there. When a citizen, armed or unarmed, gets involved, it reduces down to 2. So really, we have systematically been trained to believe that the police are the ones to handle this. Leave it to the professionals. Don't put out your kitchen fire yourself.
Right.
Wait for the fire department.
The thing with active shooters, and anyone that's trained on it will tell you, it's over before the police get there.
Yes.
Now, it's different than a hostage situation or a barricaded suspect. If a person goes into a room and he's waving a gun around, 95% of the time, that'll get negotiated peacefully by a trained negotiator. It's different than an active shooter. Had he gone into the movie theater and just waved the gun around for 5 minutes, threatening people,
I'm holding everybody here hostage.
That's not an active shooter. Right. Last thing you need is somebody jumping up doing something crazy. There's been no shots fired. Nothing has happened.
But from the moment that first shot is fired,
it's go time.
It's go time.
That's it.
And that's how you can tell the difference.
Do this. Take somebody in a simunitions room. Give them a pistol. Put 5 people in the room and one person throw a big gulp of Coke in his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that not out of the box thinking?
Right, right.
You can't have a big gulp in New York.
It would be a small gulp.
Yeah. But
it'd be Bloomberg size.
Bloomberg size.
I read
gulp,
these forums, and every now and then I chime in only because I can only take so much of it. And these people say that, you know, the most outrageous things. You know, I read one article. The guy was, you know, they want to come up with a universal code of hand signs. You know,
because the bad guy will never figure it out.
Holder, you know, I don't want to make
up twinkles, down twinkles, right, type of thing. Or?
You know, think about it. If you put out a universal code of hand signs, it would have to be a secret society for the bad guy not to find out. You know, then you would have the bad guy giving the same hand signs. Yeah, imagine all the confusion.
What they have that though? It's called the Bloods, the Crips, things like that, right?
Yeah,
they have their
unless
own
you're
signs.
A part of that, you know. So
the bad guys do have signs. What they want, good guy signs?
Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
I've read that.
Here's the
know?
Problem.
And it
okay?
came from
this is the
a
problem.
School,
of course it did. Of course it did. Because we're focusing in on the wrong shit. This is bad people will always do bad things. Evil exists in the world, has always existed in the world. You cannot legislate against evil. You just can't do it. Bad people are going to continue to do bad things.
Sure, if we limit ammunition sales
of course,
online.
And we can, sure.
And magazines.
Great debate of mags up to 10 round magazines.
That's right. Yeah. And then just come in with it, like you said, a backpack of them. I just got to buy more.
Beta mags traditionally jam anyway.
Yeah, they're jamming. Yeah,
they want one if you gave it to me.
Right.
But I'll take my 10 Glock mags, no problem.
That's right.
Yeah, their beta mags are junk.
You know, you read this and you see these people calling for all types of bans. One guy said there's nothing an M4 could be used for other than evil and destruction. I mean, that's like nothing a tractor trailer could be used for.
Except other than running people over.
Right.
Yeah.
This kid could have did the same thing with a bolt action rifle because everybody's backs were turned to him running for cover.
Right.
Okay. What about
a suicide vest? Look, you could have gone to Home Depot and made a pipe bomb.
Columbine, they had 50 something IEDs. They had
propane
tanks. So ban all propane in the planet.
Timothy McVeigh did what he did with a rented truck full of fertilizer, a 18, 19 terrorist, a box cutter, and airplanes. Come on, folks. It's not what you use. It's the act of evil. Let's concentrate on that. Let's go back to recognizing that your neighbor's a little effed up and that something's wrong and maybe intervening at that point before all this happens, rather than burying your head in the sand. If the guy's dying, all of a sudden, normal, average guy starts dyeing his hair orange.
Especially a PhD student. That's not your typical orange-haired teenager.
I like Mac's idea. He said throw a big gulp in his face. Again,
a great
everybody's
idea.
Got Anything. Shit. Could you imagine if everybody threw shit at this pussy in Colorado?
Exactly. Everybody's got something in their hands. If everybody would have thrown a... You're absolutely right.
You're going to catch a lot of heat over this, but the reality is this. If everybody bought into the concept of an active shooter and 10 people rushed them and, God forbid, worst case scenario, 8 got killed but the shooting stopped, there were how many other people saved in it?
You're right.
It's a victory in the sense of an active shooter.
Absolutely. You're lower on the food chain at that point.
Right.
You're no longer, I'm
going to go home, it's me. It's no, I'm going to end the scenario and everybody else is going to go home. And if you can't buy into that, then leave your gun in your holster.
Right.
And this is what we tell cops the same thing. If you get to that door and you just can't do it, then don't.
Yeah, don't even
Somebody
come
else
in.
Will come in and take your spot. But you have to live with the consequences that every second you delayed, somebody else's 7-year-old's not going home.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And that's
what a concept.
That's the bottom line.
That's horrible. You got to rush in and do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Think about it. If you rush in and you're drawing fire, let's just say we train a lot with schools. If you rush in and you're drawing fire from the shooter, what is that buying you? Time.
Right.
More people are arriving on scene.
Less innocents are being killed.
Right. So if you do nothing, every second you delay is somebody else's kid that's not going to go home at the end of the night.
Well, you know, I mean, it's counterintuitive. I love it. There was a lot we learned.
Rush the nut.
Rush the nut. I like that.
I'm not throwing my licorice at him, though.
No. You can keep that. Just throw the big gulp. As long as it's a diet soda, we're good.
See, fat guy Matt would take one more handful of popcorn before he threw the whole bucket at him.
So, any final words, Detective?
If nothing else, just be prepared for what may happen. If you do nothing else.
Good words. Be alert, be vigilant, and be aware, and rush the nut.
So what's going on at Gun for Hire Academy, speaking of training?
Thanks again, Mac, for all your insight. It's funny you ask. On this Thursday, 8:16, Mac's teaching Be Prepared in Belleville.
Nice.
Got a ton of more dates in September and October. On 8:18, Home Invasion Prep, Sims 1, come in. We'll do an active shooter scenario for any cowboys out there. Mac will light you up and teach you a few things.
With all the home invasions that are going on, that is really an important thing.
No home invasions.
Oh, I'm sorry, they're aggressive burglaries.
on Saturday, 8:26, Urban Pistol 1 in Cedar Grove. Also on 8:26, Low Light, No Light Pistol, Cedar Grove. On 9/8, Saturday night, September 8th, Smoke and Gun. Check out this event. Cigars, guns,
and food.
Food from the Brownstone, all catered at my private club, Cedar Grove and Fairfield. And Sunday, October 28th, is the Zombie Apocalypse Charity Match. I know, I'm not into the zombie thing, but all the money's going to the Wounded Warrior Foundation. If you want to have a shooting party or a team-building event, contact Gun for Hire. We could hook you up. I'll try to get this right again now. On Saturday night, October 13th, at the Rosewood in Edison, New Jersey, the Friends of the NRA and the ANJRPC State Dinner. Buy your tickets online now, biatches. The Gunfire app is available on Android and iPhone. It's called Group Therapy. Learn how to improve your shooting scores. It's like having me in your back pocket. Imagine that. The other thing I want to talk about is this Saturday, Sandy, myself, Milcom, and a bunch of other people, we're going to be at Cabela's in Pennsylvania at 11 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be doing our show.
Cabela's.
I want to thank Chuck Leonard. He's a master trainer and owner of Personal Protection Institute in Pennsylvania. Chuck, I want to thank you so much for setting this up.
You just alienated the entire state of Pennsylvania.
Sorry.
One statement. Do you believe this?
Chuck. I want you to make sure you promote this. All you people, all your listeners, come on out to Cabela's. We'll try the fudge and a bison burger.
You have to forgive him. He thinks that anything west of the Hudson River is flyover country. Well, you did it again. You wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of Detective Mac, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, We do thank you for listening. Please tell a friend if you like the show. If you don't like the show, then what the hell are you still listening for? We'll see you next week.